you.
And I can share.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is September 11th.
Yeah, it's in a famous
day. And we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues in Houston, Texas, for our weekly Lunch and Learn. This week, Parshat Ki Tetzé. We are going to be in Devarim, chapter Chaf Bet 22, Pasuk Aleph, which is on page 1048. Page 1048, chapter 22, verse 1, yeah.
Exactly.
And today is September 11th, so I think it's appropriate for us to just make note of this day and its meaning in American history and world history and the terrible suffering and death that our country experienced on that day. I'm sure we all remember where we were exactly on that day. I was in my car on my way up to the Laurentian Mountains in Montreal when I was going to go see kids who were on a retreat. Gabi called and said, something happened in New York. A plane hit one of the Twin Towers. And so I turned the car around because we had a preschool in our shul. And they wanted people out of the, they wanted the building evacuated. So all the kids from the preschool came to our house.
Many?
Like 30 or 40 kids. And they came to our house and while their parents were coming to pick them up. And then we were watching as things unfolded. So everyone has their memory of that day.
Where
so
were
we
you?
Could...
Where were you living?
In Montreal.
In Montreal.
And we could dedicate our learning today to the memory of all those who perished on that terrible day. Okay, so we are in Parshat Ki Tetzé, and the verse that we're going to deal with has an overt meaning, something which is obvious to the reader, but we're going to see an interesting commentary on this, indicating that there's a different another approach, another way to read this, sort of a hidden meaning, a hidden message in these psukim, which is very, very beautiful. So let's jump right into it. For those of you playing along at home, we're in the book of Devarim, Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verse 1. And the pasuk, we're going to do first and second pasuk, Lo tireh et shor achicha, o et seyo nidachim vitalamta mehem. You shall not see the ox of your brother, or the sheep or goat cast off, and hide yourself from them. Hashev tishivem la'achicha. You shall surely return them to your brother. V'im lo karov achicha alecha, if your brother is not near to you. V'lo yidato, and you do not know him. V'asafto el toch beitecha, v'aya imcha, ad derosh achicha oto, v'hashev oto lo. Then gather it inside your house, and it shall remain with you until your brother inquires after it, and you shall return it to him. So this is the mitzvah of Hashavat Aveda, right? This is the mitzvah of returning lost objects. And there are a lot of detailed halachot regarding the responsibility to return the property of others that's lost, and that's the outward meaning of these psukim. V'chein taseh lechamoro, v'chein taseh lesimlato, v'chein taseh lechol avedat achicha. These are the rules for his donkey, and for his garment, and for any lost article of your brother, asher tovat mimenu, that is lost, umitzata, and you found, lo tuchal hitalem, you're not allowed to hide yourself. So there's actually a very beautiful social lesson in here. And twice the Torah uses this word, this phrase, "Vehitalamta lo tuchal lehitalem." Right? You may want to hide yourself from it. You may want to shirk off the responsibility and say they lost it. They find it. They find it. They don't find it. They don't find it. The Torah says, "Lo tuchal lehitalem." One is not permitted to hide ourselves, meaning we're not allowed to turn our eyes away and say, it's not my problem. We're obligated to pick up the object, try to find out who it belongs to, and if we don't know who it belongs to, hold on to it. That's what the psukim say, until the rightful owner is revealed. Okay, that's the mitzvah of Hashavat Avedah. Yeah.
Is your brother, excuse me, anybody, or is it another Jew?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. So we have that question also.
I assume it's
We have a similar question that people raise with V'yahavta l're'acha kamocha, love your neighbor as yourself. Who's that referring to? So I would say that technically, I would say the following: that there's an obligation to return anyone's lost object, Jew or Gentile. The source of the obligation may, however, be different. This may be the source for the obligation to return it to a Jew, and there are other places we could find in the Torah which would direct us to act similarly with a Gentile. Okay? Okay. Now let's so that's the basic understanding of the Pasuk. Let's turn our attention to the commentary of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. His name was Chaim ben Attar. He lived from 1696 to 1743. He was born in Morocco. At the very end of his life, moved to Israel. I think he only ended up living in Israel for 1 year. And he's buried. He's buried in Jerusalem. I think, but he's buried in Israel for sure. Chaim ben Attar. He wrote a commentary on the Torah called the Or HaChaim, the Light of Life. Okay. And he has a very, very different read of this, which is really beautiful, specifically for this time of year, as we are marching closer and closer to the Yamim Noraim, to the high holidays. We'll see what he has to say. So he begins by saying as follows, Lo tireh et shor achicha o et seyoni dachim et halab temehem. Right? He comments on, you shall not see the ox of your brother or his sheep, etc., that's been lost. Says the Or HaChaim, you don't have this in front of you, I'll read and translate, and we'll discuss. Parsha zo ba'a lirmoz chiyuv hatochichot. This parsha is talking about the obligation of tochacha. Tochacha is admonishing, trying to tell someone, help someone to improve their behavior. Okay? Tochacha. There's actually an explicit pasuk about this in the Torah. If you want to keep your fingers on page 1048 and flip back to page 660 to the book of Vayikra, chapter 19, verse 17, the pasuk says, page 660, verse number 17, Lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha. Here's that word again, Marilyn. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. Hocheach tochiach et amitecha. You shall reprove your fellow. Okay? So we have an explicit pasuk here where we get the mitzvah. This is where the obligation stems from, of teaching people that if they've done something wrong, how to act properly. Back in our parsha, we're going to get a little bit of a different approach. It's going to add some layers. Before we do that, I want to read you a really interesting Gemara on the mitzvah of tochacha in general, the mitzvah of reproof or admonishing someone in general. So the Gemara says as follows: "V'amar Rabbi Ila mishum Rabbi Elazar." Rabbi Ila said in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Kishem she mitzvah al adam lomar davar hanishma, just as it is a mitzvah for a person to say that which will be heeded, meaning you're going to tell someone you shouldn't be eating this thing, it's not kosher, and you think they're going to listen to you, so you should tell them, because maybe they don't know it's not kosher, or maybe they don't know the laws of kashrut, and so you tell them you shouldn't eat this. If you think they're going to listen to you, you have an obligation to tell them. And then the Gemara continues, Kach mitzvah al adam shelo lomar davar she'eno nishma. One is also, it is a mitzvah to not say to someone something that will not be heeded. Right? If you know that the person's not going to listen to you when you tell them you shouldn't do this, then you should not tell them. Okay? Which is interesting, right? Why would that be? Right? You have an obligation. Persons, you know, you could think of the, you know, the wrongdoing or the sin in your own mind. You see someone doing it, and you say, I'm going to tell them. The Torah says, Hocheach tochiach et amitecha. I'm supposed to admonish my people. Okay, so they're not going to listen. I'm still obligated to tell them.
But then they're going to be sinning with maybe before they didn't know, and now they do.
Ah, that's an excellent answer. Right. It could be that the person does not know that what they're doing is wrong, and you're going to tell them, and they're not going to listen anyway. So before, they were doing a avera bishogeg. They were doing a sin accidentally or without knowledge that it was a sin. And now, they're going to continue the sin, but now they know that it's a sin. That's worse, right? It's worse to sin when you know it's a sin than to sin when you don't know it's a sin. So the Gemara says, perhaps that's the reason, that it says, Kach mitzvah adam shelo lomar davar she'eno nishma. It's equally binding for someone not to say something to someone which will not be heeded. That is an excellent answer. Any other suggestions? Yeah.
No, I just have a question.
Okay.
Does it say anything about not admonishing the person in public? That you shouldn't, if you're going to tell them something, you should not do it. Public.
Right, so that would fall under other general rules of not embarrassing people in public and, you know, being careful about general ben adam lechavero interactions, interpersonal relationships. So it doesn't say it explicitly here, but that's the danger of only learning one pasuk.
Yeah.
Once you learn one pasuk, you have to learn all the others. Because if we only learn one, then you're right. It sounds like I could embarrass the guy in public and tell him he's doing something wrong in public.
You're not supposed to embarrass somebody anyhow.
Right, but if you don't know that, if you just know this, and you don't know the other thing. Right, exactly.
Zach has a couple.
Educate people not to be embarrassed and be happy and open to any topic.
So that's a very interesting point, right? And there are psukim that talk about that too, about happy to receive tochacha. Yeah. And we should educate people, but not on the spot. Meaning,
no,
it should be a general
education.
Correct, right? But still, doing it in public, even though a person may be willing to privately accept admonishment, when done in public, could embarrass the person and could actually have a negative effect. That we've seen this. This is what the Torah says. The Torah says to embarrass me in public because I didn't keep kosher. To heck with the whole thing, right? So we have to be very careful about that. Yeah, Zach.
I just want to make the comment that we can take example of behavior and the way how we follow up mitzvot from God, because He definitely knew how Jewish people would behave, but He did repeat it time after time what they should do. It's a good example for us to follow up.
Right.
It's an education.
Right. Now, here's another really beautiful statement about the mitzvah of tochacha and about just how hard it is. Amar Rabbi Tarfon, ha'uvda im yesh bedor hazeh yachol lehochiach. He says, is it possible that there's anyone in our generation who knows how to give proper admonishment? Meaning, it's not easy to do that in the right way. You have to know the person. You have to know yourself. You have to know how the person is going to perceive your corrective action, what type of mood they're in. So he basically says, this is an art form, and there's no one in our generation who knows how to give tochacha. And then Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, ha'uvda Is there anyone in our generation who knows how to accept, which is what you were suggesting, right? That takes a lot of education, and it really requires a lot of self-awareness and a great deal of humility to be able to take admonishment. So even though the pasuk says, Hocheach tochiach et amitecha, we're supposed to admonish people, at the end of the day, we're not so sure how to give admonishment. We're not so sure how to take admonishment. And we have to be very careful not to make it worse by giving admonishment to someone who may not listen to us to begin with. So those are just some general comments. I will take Eddie's question, and then we'll move into the Or HaChaim and our pasuk. Yeah.
Even though I know you're not supposed to embarrass someone in public, but even when you tell somebody just one-on-one, it's embarrassing to them if they're not wanting to do it. I mean, when I first started keeping kosher, I was out to dinner with someone, and I said, we'll look at the menu, and I have to find fish, and I said, I'll order swordfish. And this, I didn't know, this friend said to me, swordfish is not kosher. And I accepted it because, and I appreciated it. But if you tell somebody that doesn't keep kosher that, it's just embarrassing them. There's no way they're going to do this.
So I think that's the point. You have to know your customer.
Yeah.
And maybe that would have been, maybe after the person ordered it was the wrong time. In not in your case, but another case, and maybe you say it to them a couple of weeks later when they're, you know, when, yeah, I think.
By the way,
you should know, there's a huge controversy about whether swordfish is kosher or not. There was a time in American history when kosher organizations said that swordfish was kosher.
Because it has scales,
okay?
And it has fins.
So it's a whole debate as to the nature of, I don't know the exact science of it, but there's a debate about the nature of the scales. Are they permanent? Do they fall off? There's a big debate. So it's a good example because it could have been kosher.
Oh, I don't eat it.
All right. After all that, it might have been kosher. Okay. So let's read the Or HaChaim together. I'll read it and I'll translate. So he says, first of all, this mitzvah, this notion, which sounds to us like it's talking about, we're back on page 1048.
Okay.
So this mitzvah, which seems to, these psukim, which seem to be very clearly be talking to us about the obligation of returning a lost object,
yeah.
All of a sudden he says, no, it's talking about admonishment. How does he get there? This is actually very, very sweet, very beautiful. First of all, it's not talking about the regular rule of Tochacha, which is the verse in Vayikra, which seems to be speaking to everybody. Anybody who sees someone doing something wrong, with all the caveats that we studied, there's an obligation to try to correct people. It says this is not talking about the Amcha, everybody. This is talking about Tzadikei Olam. This is talking about the most righteous, the super righteous, right, the uber righteous people. They have a responsibility, la'am Hashem. They have a responsibility to the nation of God. Vehein, eilet tzadikim yikru'u letzad ma'alatam achim. It says the most pious people, the Or HaChaim says, are called brothers of God. Okay, brothers of God.
I thought God was an
okay?
only child.
Kimo, and he says, as I have said this elsewhere, right? He says the greatest of the most pious people are called brothers of God. With that introduction, now we could go back and look at the psukim. So he says, ki tir'eh et shur, right? If you see the shore here is not a physical. It's not a physical ox. Elahem b'nei Adam shenim shelu kabehemot v'hem tzon kadashim v'lazek karam shor vaseh. What's lost here? The God's flock. Right, the Jewish people are referred to as tzon kadashim, God's holy flock, God's holy sheep. Right? So the flock of animals, the herd of animals, that's what's lost. What does that mean, lost? Not physically lost. So we go back in the verse, right? If you see the shor achicha, the flock of
your brother,
meaning God's flock, right? If you, the righteous, the pious, see the shore of your brother, the flock of your brother, Achicha Shehu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the your brother who is God, okay? And then he says, Nidachim. Nidachim means lost, right? We have other psukim in the Torah that seem to indicate that this word lost doesn't only mean physically lost, it also means spiritually lost. If you want to keep your hands, your finger in this place again, and flip back to chapter 4 in Sefer Devarim, 4:19, which you can find on page 962. We're talking here about the Jewish people acting in a sinful, corrupt way. And the Pasuk says, page 962, verse 19, Ufen tisa inecha hashamayim avarita tashemesh v'tiareach v'tachochavim kol tzva hashamayim. You look heavenward, and you see the sun, the moon, the stars, the entire legion. V'nidachta, that's the same word. V'nidachta, nidachim ar pasuk. V'nidachta v'hishtachavita lahem. And you will be drawn astray and bow down to them. So the Orach Chaim is saying, well, we have this word sometimes in the context of the straightforward meaning of the pasuk, it means lost. The animal is physically lost. It's not with its owner anymore. Here, back in our verse, back on page 1048, Shor Achicha Nidachim. So this is God's flock that are now nidachim. They're spiritually lost. They're not doing what God wants to do. What God wants them to do. Okay? Therefore, Vayitzav Hashem lebal yitaleim ela yeshiveim leachiv hu elokei olam. Hashev tishiveim leachicha. You have to return them to your brother, who is God again. So by interpreting achicha as God, and nidachim as spiritually lost, and shor as the flock, the pasuk has a completely different meaning.
Right.
Right? If you, one of the pious people, see one of God's flock or God's flock, nidachim, spiritually lost, you have an obligation. Hashev tishivei machicha. You have an obligation to return them to God. So that is how the Or HaChaim understands this pasuk, that those who are closest to God, and they're closest to God because they're called Achecha, Achim, they're called God's brother, they have an obligation to the Tzon Kedoshim, they have an obligation to the holy flock of Israel to return them to God. The question is how? We'll get there in a second. Yeah.
It's actually amazing because we can see a completely different relation, what this suggested, between someone and God. We know God as a father. This is very understandable.
Right.
Then another level, because we all avodim, he's our Lord.
Master, right.
He owns us. Right. Second substance, right?
Right.
Third one is a friend. Because we could see on behavior of Abraham that he was friends
right.
with God. You can
Good.
See from those dialogues.
Right.
It's actually dialogues between
right.
between
right.
friends. Now
wait, there's one more. Melech.
King.
King.
Right.
Okay. It means that we have a four.
Right. Right. We say on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to say Avinu,
yes.
Malkeinu, father and king, which are not the same.
Right. And then we have a Lord and we have a
friend.
A friend. Now we have a
brother.
Fifth one, the brother.
Right.
He's all things to everybody.
It's a very.
But this is only brother to the
Tzadikei
Olam.
Why we
super
never,
duper people,
right, but
Jews. People.
We consider that Avraham Avinu was at the level
of Tzadikei Olam.
Why it's never been shown over there that in actual Breshit, you don't see relation between
Avraham
and Hashem as
actually, well,
as
maybe not. Maybe we do. Hidden away somewhere else. Let's see.
Uh-huh.
We have the famous Rashi. We have the famous Rashi, the Midrash, that says, Avraham migayer et anashim v'sara et anashim, right? Something like that. That's not an exact quote. That what did Abraham and Sarah do? They were converting people to monotheism. Abraham had classes for the men, and Sarah had classes for the women. So that's exactly what he's saying. Although it's not God's people, but Abraham was returning people to God, which is what the Or HaChaim is saying to do here. So you have maybe the hidden notion of the brother relationship with Abraham. Could be, maybe. Yeah.
It looks to me here at the continuation, if you look at Kafdalet at 24, Pasu, it's not because really God.
What were you in Devarim? Where are you?
In the same place, Sefer Devarim, 962.
Oh, nice.
Page 962.
Oh, okay.
Read, but if you continue reading down there, it says the reasoning, actually, why God is trying to bring you back and straighten you is because who Elkanah?
There's another one. Zach, add that to your list. Elkanah, the jealous God. Oh, we forgot God in the list. Oops.
Oops. Yeah, that was
right.
A big oops.
And now we what type of God? Here it's a Elkanah, it's a jealous God, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's still, but what he said and what being the jealous God is not the same. He said our relationship, you know, he was our God, he's our king, he's our friend, he's our. But jealous is an emotion. It's not a.
No, it says El Kana, a jealous God. Now the Kana is defining what type of God.
Yeah,
it's right. God.
Yeah, but you.
It's a jealous God. But not always is a jealous God. Sometimes God isn't a jealous God. So here it's defining specific. It is God, but it's defining it as a jealous God. Right. Right. These are very harsh words. Right. This is a very harsh.
To you.
Right.
He is straightening you up.
Right. There are lots of different ways that the Torah depicts our relationship with God. And right, like Zach said, and here we have another one, Esh Ochla. Put that on your list. A devouring fire. Right.
But that's not a relationship. Yeah. That's not the same thing he was talking about. It's not the same thing.
He was talking about
relationships.
It's the way that God relates to us as an Esh Ochla.
God relates. Yeah. He also gave you the
it's not the title. Zach
was. It says if you're a child, and he's your child, but if he's a miserable kid, he's still your child.
Yes, so it's still your God, but it's an Esh Ochla. Right, so Zach was using titles,
the
title, and here these, the Esh Ochla and the Elkanah, are descriptions of, right. But it's another way that, it's not a title, but it is another way that God relates to us. Describe his relate to us. Right, yeah. Yeah, you could have God as the Father or as the devouring fire.
If you're Catholic, God or the
so, yeah. Okay, so now that we have unlocked the code to this pasuk, back on page 1048, that God relates at least to the Tzadikei Olam as a brother, and therefore the Tzadikei Olam have an obligation to return the spiritually lost flock to God. The pasuk at the end of pasuk Aleph, the end of verse 1, it says Hashev Tishivem Leachicha, which is a sort of a double language. The translation here is, you shall surely return, meaning the Hashev Tishivem emphasis. You have to do it. You must do it. It's very, very important. It's urgent, right? But he, the Or HaChaim, sees a different understanding of Hashev Tishivem. He sees it as a two-stage process of how to return people to God. First, he says, Mitchila Yishivem Lederech Hatov. I want to see how you understand this. The first thing that the finder of the lost Jew is supposed to do is return them l'derech hatov, to the proper or the good path.
The right path.
Uvazeh yitkarvu el avihem shebashamayim. And through that, they will become close to God in heaven. So he's clearly discussing, he's laying out a two-stage, a two-pronged process. I'm not 100% sure what he means. I'm wondering what you think what he means. Stage one, ki mitchila yeshiveim l'derech hatov, you put them on the proper path, and that will lead them to their Father in heaven. Hashev, put them on the good path, tishiveim l'achicha, then they will return to their father, to their brother, excuse me. What is this derech hatov? What is it, and how does it lead someone to then becoming close to their father in heaven?
What is the here in the pasuk exactly what you're mentioning from the reading?
Right.
It says in the pasuk, you bring back the guy and you bring him into your home.
We'll get there. We'll get there. We're going to get there too. We're going to get there. That's very important. Yes,
because
but hold. Let's hold that.
Everything and the Torah and the mitzvot.
Okay.
He will get acquainted back to Judaism.
So the Derech HaTov is
take him into your home.
He's coming back to God.
That's the result. What's the Derech HaTov though?
It's the right path.
Right?
The right
bring him in.
The right path.
So what,
embrace him. Take him.
Show him love and kindness.
Show him love. Nurturing.
Right, so that's what I thought it was at first. Meaning at first the you don't right away open up a Gemara and start teaching him Hilchot Shabbos.
Really?
Right. You show love and you show them kindness and you show a proper way to live life, and then the person will say, "This is how a Jewish person or a religious person lives. I want a piece of that. That's what I want." Right. Mitchila yeshivem l'derech hatov. First, you bring them to a good. Derech hatov is to me very general. It's not specific about halacha. It's a general, although halacha encompasses a lot of these things, right? A general approach to living a good and kind life. Uvazei, and then they will be willing to listen to the other stuff. Right? That's what I thought. That's what I thought at first. I was wondering if anyone had a different approach.
You teach by example. You don't necessarily teach. You know, if they come into your house and they like what they see, it's by example. It's not
But it's not even religious teachings at first. It doesn't sound like classic religious teachings. It sounds more to me like menschlichkeit and kindness, derech hatov. And then they'll be impressed enough to try to understand more, and that is the second part where it becomes more about maybe religious life. Yeah.
The Chinese call this Taoism, you know, Taoism.
Yeah.
And what is Tao? Tao is the way. This is exactly what you just described.
Yes.
They use with a capital W, the way.
Right, uh-huh.
They're saying that this is how you philosophically developed, implementing in your everyday life.
Okay. Now, the next phrase, the next stage is v'im lo karav achicha elecha. Right. So the Or HaChaim says, who are we talking about now? If your brother is not near you, what are the specifics? He says, we're talking about a situation of galut. Right. What does it mean? Imlo karov achicha elecha. If your brother, meaning God, is far away, meaning God's presence is hard to feel. Right? What's the classic word for the experience of not feeling God's presence? Galut, exile. Right? We were in Egypt. We didn't feel God's presence. We were in exile in Egypt, and then we came out of Egypt. We were redeemed. Geula and galut are opposites. This is not the only meaning, but one meaning of galut could mean the absence of feeling God's presence. And geula, redemption, is feeling God's presence. So he continues with his theme. V'im lo karov achicha elecha. If you don't feel God's presence, meaning it sounds like the first thing didn't work so well. Because, the person is very impressed with Judaism, but he feels bereft of a relationship with God. And so he says, this is talking about galut, but we could expand it to any situation where someone doesn't feel God's presence, right? We don't have the feeling of God's presence. What are we supposed to do? Ve'asafto el toch betecha. And so here's what the Or HaChaim says. He says as follows: Im kol zeh yitzav Hashem ve'asafto el toch betecha. With all of this, God commands, bring this lost object, meaning bring this person, into your house. Ze beit hamidrash. Which is exactly what you said. Baruch shekivant. Right? Bring them into the study hall. V'yilmeduhu orchot chayim v'derech yishkon or. And teach them the way of life and the way of yishkon or, of having the light present. V'lo yimtzu'u oivo b'machshevot v'ta'anot kozvot ki or Torah tatziluhu. And this feeling of God's absence is not going to be able to overcome them, because the Torah is going to give them a sense. Learning the Torah is going to give them a sense of God's presence. V'zeh yeh ad sh'yitratzeh Hashem v'yidrashehu. V'hu omru ad d'rosh achicha oto v'hashivo tolo. How long do you keep them in the Beit Midrash? Until they ask for God. And then you know, mission accomplished. Right? That's what right? Perush male alav hakatuv ki'ilu hu mishivo mini oved. Right? So what happens? Go back. V'yasavto toch betecha v'ya'imach ad d'rosh achicha oto v'hashivo tolo. They go back into the Beit HaMidrash, right? Until, the way the Or HaChaim says it, until God seeks them out. Meaning until the Geulah, until the redemption. Now that could mean until the actual redemption, or it can mean until the person feels their own personal, you know, private a sense of redemption, which they hopefully gained by spending time studying Torah. And the hope is, it actually puts a high hopes on what we're supposed to feel when we study Torah, right? When we study Torah, we don't talk about this enough, but we're supposed to really feel that we're studying God's word, right? And this is the closest, the best way that a person has to be in a dialogue or to understand God's word is to study Torah, whether it's Chumash, which is actually God's word, or even halakha, gemara, right? These are all further manifestations of how we believe God wants the world to operate, right? When we learn the gemara, and the gemara teaches us a halakha, that is, besides having gone through the technical details of how to kasher a pot, really what we're saying is, this is our understanding of how God wants the world to work. And if that's the way we approach Torah, then hopefully we feel God's presence in the Beit Midrash. We feel God's presence when we study Torah. So the Or HaChaim, you know, again, ties all these three psukim, which deal with, most clearly and obviously, a lost object. He says it's not talking about a lost object, it's talking about a lost soul, right? And there are brothers involved here. God is the big brother, I guess we'll say, right? And the tzaddikei olam, the righteous, as God's other brother, with a responsibility to return, right, the lost soul, the lost flock, back to God, in a two-stage process, where first they're shown a beautiful way of life without getting into the nitty-gritty details, and then ultimately that next step. And how is that accomplished? That's accomplished in the Beit Midrash, when a person does not feel godly, or when there is a real galut, when there is a real exile, you ad derosh achicha, until God shows his face to the person, either through some sort of real redemption, like national redemption, or a person feeling their own personal redemption, that they have been touched, and that now they feel
When they say baby to us, does that mean you actually have to be in a schoolroom, in a classroom? What if it's a one-on-one? It's and then you.
Yeah, I don't think it means specifically. Yeah.
Keep saying Beit Midrash. I mean, not there isn't.
Right.
One
this is our Beit Midrash.
Right.
And you can have another Beit Midrash around your kitchen table, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's not actually
right.
A physical school.
No, I don't think it has to be, you know, registered with the HISD as a Beit Midrash. Okay, everyone, have a wonderful day.
Thank you. It's interesting the concept. The brother.
Yes.